Hello, this is Frankly Speaking, an informational exchange of problems and issues of interest to people everywhere. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for George Mason University. Today's program addresses the subject of the student vote in the 1980 presidential elections. Our guests are Lisa McGrady, business manager for Broadside at George Mason and a supporter of President Carter, Peter Nassetta, chairman of the Student Government Senate, a member of the Executive Board of College Republicans, and a supporter of Ronald Reagan, and James Mernon, president of Students for John Anderson. Could you each kind of give me an example of why you are supporting your particular candidate? Lisa?
Okay. I'm supporting President Carter because I think he's done a good job in the past 3.5 years. I think he took office in some very troubled times, and he's handled the situations very calmly and responsibly. I think that that's what it takes, considering these very complex issues. You have to look at all sides of the issue before you make simplistic solutions. Some of President Carter's accomplishments in foreign policy: he negotiated the Camp David Accords, the first peace between Egypt and Israel. He negotiated the ratification of the Panama Canal treaties. He's worked on SALT II. He's with the Iranian situation. I have a feeling that that's the only reason the Iranians are alive right now is because he's acted calmly and responsibly. He didn't go in and, use military force. And the hostages are alive today. With domestic accomplishments, in the field of energy, there was a great energy crisis due to OPEC increasing their prices 200%. He established the Department of Energy. He has reduced foreign imports.
And you could go on and on and on, yeah. But we'll give James Mernon a chance to tell us about Anderson.
Well, I believe that now in these times, because they are so troubled, that you have to accept responsibility for your actions and for what takes place in the United States. And as President of the United States, Carter, I believe, is responsible for a lot of the problems that we face today. He was unwilling to let Ford use the excuse of increase in the price of oil when he was accusing Ford of having high inflation and high unemployment. So I don't think it is fair to let him use the same excuse. At the same time, on the international scene, I think that Carter has alienated a lot of our allies, and I think that he is partly responsible for the Iranian situation. And he did use force, if you would recall, in the Iranian situation, and it failed. So I don't think you can set Carter apart from any other presidents any longer, because he used to always say, I've been president, no Americans have died under arms, and now some have. I think it's time for a change, and Reagan doesn't quite have a grasp of the situation. He looks back to the 50s, to times that really never existed, to times that people think existed. And because Anderson does have a grasp, he was on the national scene for 20 years, and he understands the complexities of a lot of the world problems, I believe that he's the solution to our troubles.
I'm sure that Peter Nassetta has a comment.
I certainly do. In the last 3.5 years, Carter has shown us he's incapable of handling the problems he's continually faced with. Inflation has skyrocketed out of control. Unemployment is now over 8%. And over 2 million people have lost their jobs this year alone. Carter has given us a foreign policy that has not only resulted in loss of respect around the world, but has endangered our national security as well. I have to differ with Jim here. I think Reagan does have a grasp on the international and domestic affairs. In California, he showed sound economic policies. He came into a state where there was over $1 million a day in deficit spending. When he left, there was over a $500 million surplus.
I'm wondering whether or not you have views on all three candidates never having the opportunity to debate each other.
Well, I personally feel that Anderson has never shown that he's a viable candidate. He may at one time have had 15% of the vote, the polling vote, but I don't feel he was ever a viable candidate. And why should President Carter debate two Republicans? Anderson once said during his, right before he, at a Republican fundraiser, right after he declared his independent candidacy, that he had never left the Republican Party. And I think that if we were going to let Anderson be in the debates, we should let everyone in.
As far as his ratings in the polls, at times, Carter was down to 22%, and at times, Anderson was above 22%. But no one dismissed Carter as a legitimate candidate. Anderson is on the ballot in all 50 states. He has a strong following. He has put together organizations in every state, unlike any other third-party candidates. And I believe that this qualifies him to be treated as a serious presidential candidate. He has been for 20 years a Republican, and many of his economic views are still Republican. But he is not the Republican Party that you see today. That is why he left the party. He believes the two-system party has failed by offering up such inadequate candidates as Carter and Reagan. And he thought it was necessary for someone to step outside the two-party system, if only temporarily, to offer the people a third choice that they wanted. And for that reason, for Carter to deny Anderson equal billing was a purely political motive. It was outside the interest of the people of the United States. And it was a decision based just on politics, not on the interest or fairness of this country.
Peter Nassetta, would the introduction of a John Anderson on the ballot hurt Ronald Reagan more than it would Mr. Carter, or vice versa?
I think it's really hard to say. At times, depending on what state you go to, you will see that in some states, Anderson is hurting Carter more than he is Reagan. Yet in Illinois, they say he's taking quite a bit more from Reagan than he is from President Carter. The president has continually tried to paint Governor Reagan as a warmonger and a racist. In the debates, Governor Reagan has been able to make it clear his position. He is not in favor of war. He's not in favor of racism. And the president hasn't been able to stand on his own record, so he continues to make personal attacks on his opponents.
On the subject of first ladies, do you have any feeling about that?
Kiki Anderson is a very outspoken woman. She believes in expressing her feelings. Sometimes they don't quite align themselves with John Anderson's positions. Being his wife, of course, I believe that she would have a special position, and she would have an input into, I don't know if I should say decision making, but that he would listen to her counsel, of course. I have heard her speak a few times, and I think that she comes across fairly well, and she's sincere in what she believes. You never have to worry about if she is holding back because she's trying to protect the interests of her husband. When she expresses herself, you know that it's her opinions. I think that is one of the things that have drawn a lot of people to Anderson's campaign, not only Mr. Anderson, but his wife also.
On the same subject of first ladies, there has been a lot of controversy whether or not Rosalynn Carter has had too much input into this administration.
She doesn't have any more influence than she should have as the wife of the president, just supportive.
And playing her own role.
Yeah, I think she's played a very strong role in areas where she has gone out and worked for mental health.
What's happening, in your impression, with students that you've come in contact with? Are they apathetic about this particular election?
There are still some very apathetic students out there, but I've seen a lot that have some very strong views. I've seen a lot of strong Carter supporters, and I've seen a lot of people who have asked for more information about Carter and seem to be heading towards that direction.
I believe that Anderson is a candidate that would be ideal for the student. I mean, nationally, 60% of the students do support Anderson candidacy. Anderson, the students have a very low voter turnout rate, around 30%. Part of this is apathy, and part of this is the difficulty in registering students and getting them absentee ballots to vote. At my own campus at George Mason, I believe probably student apathy is unusually high, not necessarily representative of the nation, national student body. I'm disappointed, of course, that tons of students hadn't flocked to the Anderson campaign on campus, but I have not seen them flocking to any other campaign. For the most part, I think the students of today are willing to support a candidate, i.e. to vote for a candidate, but they're not willing to work for a candidate. For some reason, they just don't feel motivated out there to devote their time and their efforts towards one individual, though they will support and read his literature.
Students have shown that they always have been pretty apathetic as far as voting. They do have a very low voter turnout. They've also been generally considered democratic and more liberal in their views. And while Anderson is considered the college student's candidate and they consider to have such strong college support, I find here in George Mason, we have the strongest college Republican organization we've ever had, and that in every mock election that has been held in the state of Virginia, Ronald Reagan has won.
What last-minute advice would you give to students that are still pondering who their candidate should be in Tuesday, November 4th's election?
Well, I would encourage them to at least read up on the election in the newspapers, and they should have tried to watch the debates somehow, because I think President Carter clearly won the debates myself. I think that in the debates, Ronald Reagan made quite a few serious mistakes where he said he didn't say something that he really said, such as he claimed he didn't say that with the SALT negotiations that we should have a majority, we should be ahead of the Russians, when he has been saying that all throughout his campaign, and he'd said it 15 minutes earlier on the nationwide TV. He's always been talking about a margin of safety. I think that he blatantly lied about saying that we shouldn't care about whether there's non-proliferation of nuclear power. And he said that in February 1st to a group of people in Jacksonville, Florida. He said that long ago we never heard of racial discrimination. And I think that that's a very simplistic way to look at things, because he's not looking at the other side of the issue. People who were discriminated against knew there was racial discrimination.
I would just like to point one thing out, that in the late 60s, in 1968, there was only one of these candidates working for civil rights, and that was John Anderson, when he supported and actively pushed the open housing bill through Congress. I don't know what Carter was doing in Georgia in that time, but I doubt if he was really in the forefront of the civil rights, as probably Reagan was not either. With respect to the students making a decision, I think you could probably disregard the two debates and not listen to what the candidates themselves tell you about themselves, but look back and just read over the papers and over the positions on the news of the different candidates over the course of this campaign, and then just make your decision. And don't vote against a candidate. Don't vote against Reagan or against Carter, but vote in favor of a candidate. Make a decision over somebody you can live with.
4 years ago, when Jimmy Carter ran for office, he said Gerald Ford did not have the right to run because his so-called misery index, which was the consumer price index plus unemployment, was 12.5%. Today it is over 20%. By his own standards, Jimmy Carter does not have the right to run. Ronald Reagan has proven his economic policies effective in the state of California. If it were a nation, it would be the seventh largest GNP in the world. He turned a state government around there that was nearly bankrupt into one with a $554 million surplus when he left office. Carter's people have continually said things to the effect that Reagan is a warmonger and a racist.
Our time is up. I'd like to thank each of you for being here. We've been talking about the student vote in Tuesday's presidential elections. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for Frankly Speaking, produced by George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Vote in the 1980 elections. Remember to cast your ballot. I'm Stephanie Hopkins for Frankly Speaking.